Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome back to another edition of Listen In with KNN on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, where today I am welcoming back two guys I consider my brothers. If you follow my career, then you know I love talking sports with these guys. That's right. It's time for a special Three's a Crowd reunion special. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag listenin with KNN. Now, you'll have to wait until... Start over that part. You'll have to wait for my Kelsey's Do Good Award next show because it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with our special guest because today we're going to get straight into the show and use every minute necessary.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now that time to welcome in the fellas, Mr. Ray Jones and James Hippolyte. Welcome to the show, fellas. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
It's great to be back together. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's been so long. I know, James, you're up in New York doing big things, and we got Ray shooting jump shots in gym. So it seems like things have been good since we all last reconnected. James, what's new in New York?
Well, not much, you know. It's, you know, city is a city, you know. It's a hustle and grind. But, you know, just out here, you know, trying to do what we do, you know. I stopped by the Big East, saw a couple of games, saw Georgetown, you know, get losing it.
I don't even want to talk about Georgetown.
Right. So, I mean, it was nice to see Georgetown go against St. John's. It was good. Had my little Georgetown T-shirt on, but that's
you had to rep for the alma mater.
Yeah, a little something.
And what about you, Ray? I mean, what were the jump shots for? You playing for girls' hearts or what?
Nah. I was just trying to get in shape a little bit. You know, summertime coming up, so I was like, let me drop a couple pounds so I could walk around with no shirt on. That's all. Nothing crazy.
Got to get in summer shape. I understand. Got to be ready for the beach. Well, fellas, it's good to be back. Three's a Crowd. Oh, my gosh. Three's a Crowd Sportscast. It seems like it's been so long since we did that show, but talking with you guys, it brings back the memory, so feel free to bring back all the trash talk that you guys were doing before to this show.
Yeah, no rants. I'm not going to do no rants today.
All right, let's get into it. So I want to kick off the show with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment, where we're going to start with the Washington Wizards. I know you guys can't probably even fathom, but it's only a little over 3 weeks left in the regular season for the NBA. But in the East, the race is very tight between the third and eighth best teams in the East. You have the Miami Heat, and they're only 3.5 games behind the third-place Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, of course, the sixth-place 76ers are only a game and a half behind Cleveland. And right now, Washington is in the fourth spot, just a half game behind the Cavs. But luckily that they're tied with Indiana, but they hold the tiebreaker since they just got the win over the Indiana Pacers. So that race in the East, I'll start with you, Ray. How are you liking the Washington Wizards' chances of possibly finishing, let's say, just staying in the upper fifth spots in the East?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of optimistic about the Washington's position right now. Them being the fourth seed, they avoid Cleveland in the second round. They might not have to meet them until, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. I think they have a chance of beating Toronto because I never really had too much faith in Toronto anyway.
Okay, and of course, why haven't you had faith in Toronto?
I'm going to go ahead and skip over the first round matchup. I think they'll handle the Pacers with ease. But just, you know, something about Toronto. You know, Kyle Lowry has a history of not really performing well in the playoffs, and a healthy John Wall is going to dominate a lackluster Kyle Lowry on a good day. Mm-hmm. So imagine if Kyle Lowry's in a slump again like he normally is. I just feel like John Wall at his best is a better player, better point guard, better leader. And then I also like Washington's depth. I feel like they have a lot of young players. Kelly Oubre's been coming along. Mm-hmm. He played a lot better than last year. I see him developing really well. And, you know, Bradley Beal's coming to his own being the leader of the team at the moment with John Wall out.
Right.
I feel like the Wizards are in a good position being at fourth seed. First round, like I said, they're going to play the Pacers. I don't really think that's going to be a big issue. And in that second round, they got a chance to beat Toronto, I think. The only obstacle I see in the way, of course, is LeBron and the Cavs. And the Cavs have their own turmoil to deal with right now. So I like their chances of actually going all the way to the finals if John Wall comes back
100%. Oh, wow. Okay. James, do you agree with Ray or you feel different?
No, I feel different. I mean, Washington Wizards are a second-round team at best. Even if the East is still subpar. And even though Kevin Love is gone, so I'm going different. I'm going to say Toronto. I'm going to say Toronto this year. They finally go over the hump.
Wow. So you have them finishing in the East on top.
I have them finishing and beating the Kings.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Those are some big words because Toronto, I feel like, has not gotten the respect that they deserve this season, even though
right,
they've been balling out and winning games. And they
right.
pretty much are a runaway in the East. That's why 3-8 is tight. I like Toronto, but I'm feeling more closer to Ray because I think when you get a healthy John Wall back, and it was already reported that at the end of this week he'll be participating in 5-on-5 practice, which means he's getting back and he's getting better and healthy, I think Washington's going to be dangerous because, I mean, Ray said it, Cleveland, they have stuff going on. You have Coach Lou stepping away, just all the other stuff going on in Cleveland. You still have the new players getting acclimated. And, yes, I understand King LeBron James is a beast, but it's just he doesn't have that support system going on like the Warriors do in the West. So if the Wizards, I'll say, if they can be consistent, because I need Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat to show up every single game, as well as Otto Porter, I think the Wizards can really be a dangerous team in the East, and this is the first time I felt like they might be able to get past Cleveland, because, of course, the Celtics are also injured. So I think they might can get past. So I don't know. I guess they're feeling all different. But the East will be – it'll be interesting to watch. But it's really interesting that you picked Toronto, James. I feel like you're one of a few that believe
the
only
thing
anyway.
The one thing with Toronto, I say they've been able to, I guess, live off everybody else's bad circumstances. Toronto's the only team that really hasn't dealt with any major injuries. Boston has major injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They have Marcus Smart is out possibly for the rest of the season.
Right.
Kyrie's been hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's had their injuries. The Wizards have had their injuries.
Right.
Toronto really hasn't had any injuries. That I think that's the real reason why they've been able to run away with the East so much because
right.
they've been pretty much healthy all season long. So if you want to say healthy versus healthy, Wizards versus Toronto, I'm taking John Wall and Bradley Beal over Lowry and DeRozan. And then once you throw in Gortat, I'm taking Gortat too. Like, so that's why I say Washington, a healthy Washington Wizards team, I feel like could beat Toronto. They've been together longer. You got to remember, Toronto revamped. They lost like 3 or 4 players. They lost PJ Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Patrick Patterson. They lost like, I think there's one more person I can't remember right now. So they had to implement a lot of new young players that don't really have that playoff experience the same way the Wizards do. That's another reason why I feel as though Toronto may be a little bit high on their horse right now, but I think reality is going to hit them in the playoffs.
I mean, the guard matchup is going to be something to see. Like, you know, you got DeMar and you
right.
got Lowry versus, you know, Wall and Beal. That's going to be a great matchup. And I still believe Toronto's going to take it because Gortat canceled himself out with Ibaka. He's going to cancel himself out. and Oubre and them, I believe in it, but I don't really feel they have it, what it takes. They have some lackluster playoff, you know, showing to me. So I don't know if they're going to do it this year. I feel like
you feel as though Bradley Beal's production and in progression this year hasn't moved itself up to that tier with DeRozan right now.
Definitely has. But I mean, I don't think it will be enough for them to win a playoff series.
And let's remember, Bradley Beal was an all-star this year for that reason.
Yes.
Bradley Beal has been balling out. And quite frankly,
right.
we're carrying this team, especially in John Wall's absence. So I think it's going to be a fair match. And Bradley Beal, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, John Wall and Bradley Beal are a very, 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 very scary backcourt to have.
And that's my point. To me, they may be a push at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compare John Wall to Lowry, that's not even close. To me, John Wall is 2 steps ahead of
Lowry. Oh, yeah, he's better.
So that's why I say I kind of lean towards the Wizards a little bit. That's where I'm going with that point.
So let's say so Gray, you have the Wizards winning the East, okay? If they win the East, who do you have winning the West?
Well, hold on. I didn't say they were going to win the East. I said they have a chance to win the East.
All right. So you have them getting through. So who wins the East then?
That really depends on Cleveland.
All right.
Kevin Love comes back tonight. I want to see Kevin Love come back and see how his performance is. See how he gels with the new pieces. If it doesn't work, then I would say, okay, the Wizards got it. But it really depends on Kevin Love. And then also with the Celtics, it depends on if they could get healthy.
Right.
So I just don't see Toronto being that team. But what I'm saying is that now is the opportunity for the Wizards to do it.
Okay.
Honestly, it really doesn't matter because Golden State's taking it anyway. So
you can't count against Golden State. So James has a great point. I mean, they just have it all again. So honestly, I feel like you, James. I mean, it doesn't matter really when's the East because at the end of the day, Golden State is Golden
right.
State. And
I want to talk about that a little bit.
So at the end of the day, take Toronto, take Boston, take Cleveland, take Washington, put them all together, and then we'll have a game against Golden State, and that's it.
I got something for you. Let's go to the West. We ready for the West?
All right,
we're ready for the West. Go ahead.
Okay, so check me out. Just let me talk for a second. How do y'all feel about Splash Brothers and KD being hurt right now at the same time? Do you think they're really hurt, or are they resting up for the playoffs?
Resting.
Well, what's his name's ankle?
That's where he was just dancing at his birthday.
Oh, wow, that's right.
He sat down immediately after that, too. So I don't know if it was maybe he was a little, you know, feeling himself that night. But he definitely was sitting down the rest of the night eating his ribs.
So you think he's really injured?
I think if you watch the tape, he really did turn his ankle really bad. And he has a history of bad ankles.
Right.
You know, ankle injuries. So I wouldn't just brush that off like it's nothing. That's what I'm saying. And then with KD and his rib, I think it was a rib injury, he got hit in his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of frail, slight in the body, so that could be a serious injury. I'm not trying to throw jabs, but you got to think when the playoffs come, the games just get slower and it's more physical. So people going to hit him in his rib the rest of the playoffs. So that could be a serious injury. And even with Clay's injury, I'm just trying to understand, like, Houston is rolling right now. And
Houston is balling out. And you can't take
Houston
that away.
Houston is way deeper than Golden State, I would say, right now. I like Houston's bench better than Golden State's bench. And Houston has, like, this crazy chemistry right now to where I don't know that we can just guarantee that it'll go to Golden State. That's what I'm saying.
So you think Houston has a chance to win the West?
I definitely think Houston has a chance because Chris Paul looks determined. He wants to get over that hump of, you know, never getting his team to the pot of gold. You know, Harden wants to make up for last year. And then they added a couple grit guys. They added Mbamute and they added P.J. Tucker. Them dudes ain't no slouches. They you know what I'm saying? And Gerald Green. So they got a couple bangers that's ready to rock out and going to play hard the whole game. So I don't know that Golden State is just going to play, you know what, we cruise into the playoffs. I think that's why I asked about the injury question. I think Steve Kerr realizes, like, they're a real threat. Let me get my guys. We can't catch them at the number one spot. So let me let my guys get a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break, so that way they're 100% and ready to rock and roll in the playoffs because we're going to need to be 100% to beat Houston. That's what I really think, especially with Houston having home court advantage. That's why I was asking that whole injury question because I think it's more to it. Like part of it, I think they actually are hurt, but a lot of it, I think, is he realizes like, they might got smoked. Like they might have a problem with us. Like they might really get us.
James,
Houston don't play defense though.
Okay.
What?
I knew Ray was gonna say something.
Come on now. They have Chris Paul, great defender. Capella's a great rim protector. Then you got P.J. Tucker who could strap up. You got Trevor Ariza who could strap up, and Mbamute who could strap up. And guess what position all three of them play? Small forward. Guess who's the best player in the Golden State Warriors? Kevin Durant. They gonna give Kevin Durant fits. I think the only person that might get off the play.
You talk a great one, bro. Like I understand what you're saying. You're talking a great one now. It seems all good on paper, but it's not really
good
on paper.
NBA 2K also. NBA 2K works.
That's the thing. Too much video games. Too many video games are not reality. Come on, bro. Nobody could defend the Warriors, man. It's just that it's not even.
And
fair.
I have to agree with James. But you know what, fellas? I do want to go to football because I know we could talk basketball all night with you two. But I do want to talk football because the Washington Redskins here in D.C. have also been making some big moves. And one of their newest moves, Orlando Scandrick, is now a member of the Washington Redskins. Isn't that something?
Wow, Drea is going to be in D.C.
She will be in D.C. She'll be closer to you, James.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, I mean, that, it was huge news, of course. I mean, he came from the Cowboys, of course, former Cowboys cornerback. Basically, two-year deal worth up to $10 million. He's 31 years old, started 11 games last fall before, of course, the back injury when he got injured. But do you guys like him joining Josh Norman and Quentin Dunbar, Joshua Hosley, I mean, of the Washington Redskins? Was this a good move for them?
Yeah, it's a great trifecta move. I think so. I think it helps out the organization. It helps him out. I mean, he's going to be with Norman. You know, Norman will get him back, you know, to where he was before he got hurt. I think it works out.
Okay. Right.
Do you really want me to comment on this? Because you know how. For one.
You just want Drea, too.
He's a former Cowboy. They didn't want him for a reason. Then he goes to the Deadskins. Like, come on. Like,
ooh,
I'm not. They're
ouch.
Not, they're not a threat. Stop it.
Ouch. They're love not. Here.
He's a 31-year-old. There's a reason he only signed for $10 mil. Hey, let's be honest. 2 years, $10 mil is not a lot for a cornerback. He's 31 years old. He's coming off an injury.
Right.
And he's playing on a team. I don't think the Redskins defense was that great last year. Do you really think he's an upgrade? Do y'all, like, honestly think he's an upgrade? I'm not trying to hate on him at all. I'm just saying that move. I don't know that it's really going to be a significant difference. I'm going to be truthful.
Sean,
well, let's
Drew,
remember he's
it.
Filling in. They brought him in basically because they traded away, of course, Kendall Fuller, who was their slot man. He went to the Chiefs.
Exactly.
And then, right.
That
and
was
then, so
a terrible
I,
move.
Right. So then you had to replace him, right? So I think Orlando Scandrick, I mean, he had some good plays, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's not great, but he's not bad. He's one of those just those average players, but I think he'll do what Washington needs him to do.
In what sport is it ever good to trade away the young prospect for the old injured guy?
I don't think they should have, but at the end of the day, they did it, right? And so they need somebody to come in. Orlando was free.
The Redskins just took from the Knicks playbook. That's what they just did. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Sir, we're talking football right now, sir. This is football right now, sir.
I just had to make a comparison, that's all.
And for the Cowboys, of course, they now save them $1.4 million against the salary cap by moving on from Scandrick, who was a fifth-round pick back in the 2008 NFL draft. So Washington, of course, they're trying to grow on defense. And then also they're supposedly negotiating with Junior Gallette, but supposedly the two sides are reportedly far apart on the money issue. So what do you think about Junior Gallette possibly joining Washington?
I mean, that's a hometown, it's a hometown boy from my hometown, so I'm not going to say much. I mean, I hope he gets another contract. You know, he's coming from two Achilles injuries, and he showed improvement, and he's doing his thing. I mean, paying the money. You know, he came back from two injuries, two Achilles tendon tears. So, I mean, give him the money, Redskins, you know.
Okay, right.
Hey, again, I'm an anti-Redskins fan, so
David,
I don't want to say
anything. Even have anything.
No, I mean, honestly, I think it's a good move. I like Junior Gallette. I thought he was a good player. We'll have to see because I know he kind of slowed down a little bit, but like we'll see.
Okay.
I have a question in regards to the wide receiving core, though. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh no, I'll let you start it. Go ahead. But can you not be anti-Redskin? Just be unbiased when you do it.
I'm gonna be unbiased because they actually picked up a guy I like. They picked up Paul Richardson from Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
I love Paul Richardson. I had him in fantasy football. I think that's the addition I think is really going to help improve their team. I like him a lot, especially with picking up Alex Smith.
Alex Smith,
I think
right.
that's his favorite receiver. Like I think that was a great pickup. I'm be honest with you. I feel as though they maybe should have gave Terrell Pryor another chance. He had a couple injuries, but I feel like he still could have been a great player in that system, especially next to Paul Richardson, because Paul Richardson could be the deep threat as well as be a possession receiver at the same time. So imagine having Terrell Pryor on the opposite side going them long passes. But that's to me, that's the bigger pickup is Paul Richardson.
I feel like he has the
blossom a little bit.
So, they picked up Scandrick, right? Was Talib still available? Why didn't they pick him up instead of Scandrick?
Nah, he's on the Rams.
He's on the Rams.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So they had to kind of get what they
That's
got,
scary.
Right?
right.
They got
right.
Orlando.
And he wasn't expensive either.
So I don't blame him for that.
I feel it's okay move. It's a safe move. I mean, only give him $10 million. And Dre's going to take 8 of that anyway, so.
And also, I like the point, though, that Ray made about Richardson, because, I mean, as Alex Smith, of course, another new member of the Washington Redskins after he signed the 4-year, $94 million extension with the team, which includes a $27 million signing bonus, isn't that nice, and $71 million in guarantees for injury. Alex Smith needs receivers to throw to. I'm the opposite of you, Ray, though. Terrell Pryor, I think he had his time. He was injury-prone. He didn't do anything when he wasn't injury-prone. So I'm so glad Washington is moving on from him. I think everyone in D.C. is glad, because he didn't do enough that Washington needed. But now that Alex Smith has a for-sure receiver, I know he's not on social media, but he's somewhere smiling when they picked him up, because, again, Alex Smith can throw. He can throw, but he needs somebody to throw it to. The Washington Redskins are not a bad team. They just need 4 sure guys that will catch the ball and get them in the end zone. That's all. And I think Richardson will help with that. So I'm excited to see the Alex Smith era begin in Washington. Were you guys for that Alex Smith move for Washington or against it?
I think it's great.
I like the move.
It works out.
I like it.
Okay.
I like
You're not missing Kirk Cousins at all?
No. I feel as though he was definitely going to get overpaid, and he didn't really do enough for him to warrant that kind of money from them.
Even though the Vikings thought so.
Well, I mean, that's kind of crazy too. But Alex Smith is proven he can get his team to the playoffs. He may not get you much further than that, but he can still lead a team. He's not very injured. I mean, I'm sorry. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, I had Alex Smith in my fantasy football league
you
as well. He puts
football.
Up numbers. You know, I'm a fantasy football guy. So I feel as though Alex Smith is a good piece, definitely a great piece. But the Terrell Pryor thing, the only thing – Terrell Pryor had a great season in Cleveland with not much of a quarterback.
Right,
he got injured last year, and I think that he kept trying to rush back, prove himself, because he knew he was on a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they should have gave him a second chance, maybe cut his salary down a little bit, and then try to re-sign and give him a second chance, because I feel as though he's gonna have a bounce back year.
Interesting. Well, I hope he does.
He was never able to get any consistency off that injury, so that's why I feel as though, like you said, when he came back, he really didn't do much. Because he was really in and out of the lineup a lot.
Right.
How much is his contract this year? How much did he give him this year?
Terrell Pryor?
Yeah.
Did he sign with anybody yet?
Honestly, I don't think he signed with anybody yet.
I thought he signed already.
But like Bray said, I mean, I think in Cleveland he was great, right? That's why Washington got him. Then he came to Washington and it wasn't the same. But I think if he's with the right quarterback, I think he still has a promising future. I think that's the biggest thing for him. He just has to get him in the right system.
We'll take him.
With the right quarterback.
Patriots will take him.
I'm sure you guys will. Matter of fact, real quick, James, did you get to watch the Aaron Hernandez special that they did? I think it was on Oxygen or something.
I definitely did.
What do you guys think of that? I know this is like off topic, but I thought that was so interesting.
Before we get in that, I'll give Pryor, Richard Pryor's son, I'll give him 1.3 million to sign with us.
1.3 million.
Oh. 1.3.
Okay, right, you're doing the work of the GMs.
Yeah.
Y'all saw Richard Pryor's son got booed off at the Apollo.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. Oh, he shouldn't have went up there though, hurting his daddy's legacy. But all right, so you guys give me off topic. But, you know, it's all fun and games. But I do want to get to my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. I want to talk March Madness. Of course, college basketball fans are going crazy right now. I can't believe we are about to go to the Sweet 16 round. So the first game I want to get to was Florida State Seminoles beating off the Xavier Musketeers 75-70. Did you guys see that one coming, or did you expect Xavier as the number one seed to get the win?
I mean, I thought it was close. I mean, I don't think Xavier should have been a number one seed anyway.
That's where I was going with. I was going to say, they were the weakest one seed out there anyway.
Weakest.
So I didn't really have faith in them regardless.
So you guys saw that coming?
Yeah, I had them losing to Florida State in my bracket.
Ah, okay.
I mean, that whole side is weak. Like, that whole side, the East and the Midwest is where you're going to get the championship. Like, the South and West, it's game over for that side. It's game over.
Okay, ouch, James. Well, next, let's move on to a better game tonight. Well, it was very low scoring, though, but UMBC Retrievers from out here in Maryland lost to the Kansas State Wildcats, even though they were the Cinderella 16 team that it seemed like the whole nation was behind. That game was actually the tied for the fourth fewest points scored in an NCAA tournament game during the shot clock era, so that's since 1986. Such a low scoring game, but what did you guys think about Kansas State defeating UMBC?
Man, it was a great game, but that kid Lyles is going to get himself into
and
the
And he's
NBA.
From my county, Montgomery County,
okay.
So I knew he was going to be great. I mean, great things come from Montgomery County.
Oh, good chewing.
Ray, what did you think about that game?
I was actually rooting for them, you know, because they're somewhat local. So I was like, oh, I want to see them do great things. But to be honest with you, that whole side of the bracket, I threw that away a long time ago. I don't have not one team left in that side of the bracket. That whole bracket.
Everybody, I think, feels the same. My only worry with Kansas State is that if it took them, if they only beat UMBC by 7 points, I don't think it's looking too bright for them. Because UMBC, yes, they were a big dream team. But, I mean, to be honest, the Virginia team they played was not the Virginia team that we've seen the entire season. I don't even know who was that Virginia team that showed up. So Kansas State, I feel like that should have been a much more commanding win, even though I wanted UMBC to get the win. Of course, everybody loves Cinderella's story. But the team I was really worried about is North Carolina Tar Heels, that Texas A&M Aggies defeating them 86-65. What do you think Roy Williams was saying after that game? Because that one did not get close.
He was like, I don't know what team I came to coach, but it wasn't it yesterday.
That was crazy. So, Ray, do you believe in Texas A&M? Can they win it all?
I mean, they beat a pretty good North Carolina team. That had to be one of the definitely biggest letdowns of the season. I want to feel like North Carolina probably felt like they were going to get back to the Final Four, the championship. So Texas A&M, I mean, they came out to play, and we'll see how it works. But it definitely was a shocker for me, especially when I saw the score. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's what I said. It wasn't even like they won on a last-second shot or something. Like, they dominated that, the pace of the entire game. And Roy Williams, there was a point they didn't score for like 4 minutes.
The throwback from the Three's a Crowd days, they got mollywopped.
Mollywopped.
I knew you were going to bring back the word.
I thought the score was wrong. I thought something was wrong with my TV.
So, James, you believe Texas A&M, can they do it all? Or is this just a good game for them?
I think they could beat Michigan. Play Michigan next. They're a big team. Like, they're a really big team. Like, they have some horses down low. And they might be able to do it. I mean, but Michigan also has some big players, so it's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's a great matchup.
It's always good.
But honestly, it doesn't really matter what happens on that side, honestly, because Villanova, is it going to be Villanova or Kansas? If Duke could get by Kansas, it's going to be Duke or Villanova, I think. Maybe.
Oh, wow. Well, next, let's move on to the Syracuse Orange Men, who got and I thought this game was probably one of the best games of the weekend. They defeated Michigan State Spartans 55-53. Syracuse, of course, who was a school some people didn't think should even be in the tournament. They, I think, really came in and shocked Michigan State. What did you guys think about their performance in that game?
The 2-3 zone. It's hard to get around that 2-3 zone. It's been implemented since, 1978?
Yep. Yeah,
with the Boeheim there, so it's hard to get them. If you can't shoot on that 2-3 zone, the game's over. If you can't penetrate, it's over. So there was not too much penetration going on for Michigan State. And their best player, what was it, Bridges is his name?
Yeah, Miles Bridges. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took him too long to get hot, so that was all
she wrote.
Yeah.
Ray, what do you think about that game?
Well, that game, it was a good game, I'm going to be honest with you. I still think Miles Bridges is good enough to go to the NBA. He's going to definitely do something in the league. But like I said about the other bracket, that's just another bracket I threw in the trash. I was like, oh, this side's gone. I just got a big X on both sides. Yeah,
oh,
it was crazy.
Gosh.
Like,
yeah, everybody's just done.
Okay, so I got a question for you guys. How many teams do you have in the Final Four that are left playing right now?
See, I didn't even do a bracket this year because I didn't want to get myself mad.
I didn't do a bracket
mad.
Either. I
didn't
want
to get myself mad.
I do a bracket, but I helped out. I helped out a couple of people with their brackets.
My championship was Arizona and Michigan State. They're both home.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry, Ray.
So, yeah. I mean, I still got a chance. I got Villanova and Gonzaga in the Final Four also. But
okay, well, at least that helps.
The actual championship, it's a wrap.
Gonzaga might not even make it.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. Okay, so Gonzaga is in, of course, the Sweet 16. On the one side, we have Kansas State, Kentucky, Loyola, Chicago, who, of course, is a school that has been making everybody pay attention. Yeah, the Cinderella school, really, right now. Nevada, Florida State, Michigan, Texas A&M. Then on the other side, we have Villanova, West Virginia, who I think does not get enough credit for the good basketball they've been playing, Texas Tech, Purdue, Kansas, Clemson, Syracuse, and Duke. So Ray, who do you have in the championship now with everything that you know?
Well, I guess I'm not going to give up on – I don't know, because my dad's a diehard Syracuse fan, so I feel like I want to go with Syracuse.
Okay.
But then again, I want to go with Duke just because, they have the history, and I feel like they got some boys over there. When I saw a game they were playing, I think against Rhode Island, I was like, yo, this is an NBA team playing against a high school team right now. Like they were running them out the gym. Like no disrespect, but they looked completely overmatched. So I really feel like Duke may be that team that's going to get to the championship just because they got so many NBA quality players on their team.
That's so Grayson Allen gets a ring, or a trophy, I should say.
Yeah, unfortunately, but that's a whole other topic. But yeah, so I feel like that's what my head is saying, but my heart kind of wants to see Loyola win for some reason. I don't know why. Granted, that Nevada and Cincinnati game was crazy.
It was.
So I think Nevada may have some guns on their team, but I really want to see Loyola get to the championship. So that's where my heart is at right now.
All right, James, what about you?
Guys, you know I'm a Kentucky fan, but I didn't have that much confidence in these young boys this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they might steal it out of that side.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, I'm looking at it now. Like, if we could beat Loyola Chicago, we might go to the Final Four.
Isn't that something? So you think they can win it all this year?
These are five freshmen. I don't know about winning it all. I think Villanova's going to win it all, though. If Duke don't take it, Villanova's going to take it. But then again, can Kansas beat Duke? Or can Duke beat Kansas? I don't know.
Mm. Sweet 16 round is always good. So I know all of us will be tuned in to see who gets the win. But I just Loyola Chicago could just come up. Wouldn't that be something? I'm always for those underdog stories. I think it makes the sport fun. And that's why, honestly, I am glad that UNC is out of it because I didn't think they needed to win again. They already got it last year, so I think they're fine. All right, now I want to move to my biggest headlines in sports where I want to talk about Ray Allen and his new book that is causing some controversy. So if you didn't hear about his new book, it's titled From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love. So the book is actually due out on March 27th, and he wrote it with Michael Arkush. And basically the story is about his rise to basketball greatness. And really, you know, he recollects all of his time, and he talks about the drama, and that's the part that kind of got him in some controversy. He talks about the drama basically in every place that he played, but in Boston it seemed like it was basically the most drama. And one line that stood out, he said, "The locker room is like high school sometimes, with the cliques that form and the gossip, much of it untrue that somebody spread." So basically saying locker rooms, of course, are just like when we were all in high school. And then, of course, people already knew that stuff was going on with Allen because last month, if you guys remember, when the Celtics retired the jersey of forward Paul Pierce at TD Garden, Allen stayed away from that. And he actually posted a picture instead of him on social media playing golf, okay? So basically, it's been 10 years, of course, since Allen and Pierce and, of course, Kevin Garnett, the big three in Boston, won the championship. But it seems like Allen basically feels like there's too much bitterness left between him, Garnett, and Rajon Rondo. So, I mean, did you guys have a chance to even, like, see about this book and all the stuff that basically he was saying in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some certain things about it, but I saw also Rajon Rondo saying that, you know, Allen just wants attention. But if you if you remember on Kevin Durant's little segment he has on TNT,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
Area 21.
Area 21.
Area 21, good, too.
Yeah, and he was with Paul Pierce and Rajon Rondo. It's just what's his name? Ray Allen has never been there. So he's really...
Yep.
Three against one. So who's really at count here? Like, who's really, you know, three against one? I mean, it can't be. These guys can't just be forming against you.
Right.
It must be you.
I always found that situation, like, really, really interesting. And I feel like I wish that they had cameras around a lot more back then. Or
oh, my
maybe
gosh, yes.
Do a 30,
we can see the
do
truth.
A 30 for 30. They should do a 30 for 30 on that team alone.
Oh, you know they're going to.
Like you said, they had the Area 21, and Big Baby Davis was there also, and I know another part of the segment, they had, I think on NBA TV, they did it with Doc Rivers. But it seems like they all come in for Ray Allen. But you got to think, at that same time, I understand Ray Allen's plight because he was the one that was
left
on the trade block every year. Every year they were talking about trading Ray Allen.
Yep.
So it almost felt like they were ganging up on him back then. So I can see why he was bitter and went to Miami because he always felt like the outcast anyway. You know
right. And that's what it seems like he's saying, right? He said there was cliques in the locker room and stuff. And, of course, it seems like they were pretty much talking about him, and that's what the book is about. And then you said it. I mean, his decision to leave Boston and finish his career in Miami, of course, you can still tell there is still some bitterness. And you guys made a great point. I mean, where has Ray Allen been on Area 21? Still waiting to see. And I have no problem, honestly, with him writing a book about it because he's being an honest person and telling the truth. But, of course, yeah, it seems like Rondo and all of them just think he's doing it for attention. But I think I want to know what happened. I mean, we all all want to know what happened, really, between them.
There's codes to it, though. Like, you don't have to write that in a book. Like, you know, like Kevin Garnett's a man's man, so I know he had something to say about it. Why you got to go write something in a book? What are you, Jesus Shuttlesworth, right? You're supposed to be the man. What happened?
Right. Mm.
But no, the only thing with that is though, they always talking about him. This is the first time he's actually really said something. Because
right.
if you, like right. you said, on their show, they're always saying something about him. Big Baby Davis was on Sports Nation talking about him. Like, they're always talking about Ray Allen. Like, Ray Allen was the problem.
Right.
I mean, he just flipped it and said, you know what? Y'all said y'all peace. Now let me get this bread, and I'm going to talk
yeah, right,
my
he
piece.
Did it in a smart way, got the money with it, too. Yep. That's why I have right. no problem with Ray doing that, because I'm like, you're right. I mean, I'm like, you're right. I mean, basically, you haven't heard the side of him, but it seems like they do gang up on him, and they do say stuff. And now, I mean, Ray came back, and now I think his book everyone's going to want to read, because obviously there was a problem in that locker room, and obviously there still is. So I don't know. Maybe the book will make them finally talk. Who are the people I'm thinking about?
Nah, ain't no
that,
talking.
No.
Every Ray got an issue.
Facts.
Who was it? It was who was it that apologized on TV together? Remember Isaiah Thomas and why can I
think Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. Yes. Maybe
yeah.
that's what needs to happen from this book.
That's
nah, ain't no
though.
Crying in sports. Ain't no crying in sports,
sir. They're way older. They're way more mature. And Rondo don't seem like he care at all. Like,
oh, he doesn't.
Honestly,
yeah, he's a problem
they just
one.
Need to catch the fade. They just need to catch the fade and get it over with. Because Rondo want to throw hands. It's at the point. You can tell. Like, just how, by based on his energy. He always says something disrespectful. Like, it's never
right.
just, oh, brush it off. It's always something crazy or reckless. Like, yo, man, I smacked fire out this dude. Like, I feel like
yeah.
they just need to fade and get it over with and just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And Ray Allen's like, you know what? I don't want no parts of that because he's going to beat the brakes off me. Let me just get this bread from this book.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go back and go back to this golf course.
You saw me did the Isaiah Thomas. She got anger management problems.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's how I know it's not going to get resolved no time soon. Just you can just tell off of Rondo's energy. Like, you can tell it's not going to. Because I don't even think KG and Paul Pierce and all of them really have an issue. The only issue they really had was that he went to Miami.
Right.
But I think
right.
Rondo and Ray Allen had, like, real beef in the locker room before all of that.
Right. It seems from the book, if you guys get the book, it seems like the problem started when Allen tried to tell Rondo that they were going to both were going to be on the trading block. And then, mm-hmm. of course, Rondo went back and asked everybody else about it, and it seemed like everything wasn't clicking the same. And then you talked about his anger management problems in the book. Allen actually talked about, like, a time where Rondo had done something wrong in the game, and they were watching film, and he didn't want to look at it, so he threw a water bottle at the screen and broke it because he didn't want to watch back the film. So I think,
wow.
you know, all the points he made are good. And that's what I mean. Allen just told the truth, I think. But, yeah, Rondo, I don't know. It's just – I just think that it needs to get solved. And like you said, they're grown men. So I feel like they can all come to a point because, obviously, I mean, Ray Allen, future Hall of Famer. You just want bygones to be bygones. And like Ray said, just go back and let them play golf at the golf course.
I mean, see how long it took Magic and Isaiah to do it. So it might take 30 years from now.
That's true, though. Maybe they'll all be really old before it happens. But I just want them to just be friends and happy. But anyways, now let's move on to Pittsburgh. Say in basketball in Pittsburgh, they're also having some problems with their basketball team because now 8 Pittsburgh Panthers men's basketball players will reportedly be given permission to transfer Friday. And this is according to ESPN's Jeff Goodman. And basically, 8 of their players are wanting to leave after Pitt fired their head coach, Kevin Stallings. So Pittsburgh won 8-24 this season under him, and they, including an 0-19 mark in the ACC after going 8-5 in non-conference play. So I'll start with you, James. What did you think when you heard this news about basically all their team wanting to leave?
That's too much turmoil for there. I mean,
yeah.
If you're looking to get into school, you might want to look into getting to Pittsburgh right now.
Yep, get you a basketball scholarship.
Right, it's not too late, but I mean, it's just sad to see that, you know, like, players get into things like that where, you know, a coach gets fired and then the player's left, like, you know, you're on an island by yourself. Like, what do I do
right.
now? Like, this was my mentor,
right.
and now he's gone, so I'm starting all over again.
Right.
NCAA for you.
I mean, it kind of shows, like, a little bit of loyalty towards that coach. They feel as though maybe they felt like the firing was unjust.
Right.
They also announced, I don't know if you guys saw, their top scorer, Wilson Frame, he asked for a release too. So that's 9
yep.
players on the roster. Like, That they feel like maybe the coach shouldn't have been fired. That's what that sounds like to me. Like, you know what, we were dedicated to him. He chose us, or he was dedicated to us, and you guys are getting rid of him. That goes our stability. You know what, let me just get up out of here.
Right, and I think that's, like you said, it shows the players' loyalty to him. Obviously, they believed in him. Their record sucked, right? It didn't show maybe as great of a coach as he was. But at the same time, in his first season for Pitt, which was the 2016-2017 season, they did go 16-17, and they went 4-4 in the conference. So obviously, that first season was better. But I do think you have to kind of stay with a coach at least for a little bit longer to see if things can get that going, since he did start off at least pretty decently. I think quickly getting rid of him, obviously, it sucks for you, because now your basketball team is basically gone. And as we all know, it's hard to start from scratch, especially a school like Pitt, who relies on their basketball program that can do so well. So it'll be interesting to see how things shape back out. I don't know how they're going to be able to do some recruiting unless they get just a big name.
Well, look,
big name for the next head coach.
They got a lot of openings right now. I might need to go back to the gym real quick and give me a scholarship.
Hey, they got one more player on the roster.
I'm pretty sure I got at least a year or about 4 months left of eligibility. Left. Let me go strap up.
I wouldn't
quick.
Be mad at you, Ray. I would not be mad at you.
Just don't send them that video I posted. Send them something else.
I got you.
You funny. All right, now let's move on to football, where we're looking for someone that actually wants to be signed to a team and is looking for a roster spot. And I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick, who, of course, if you've been following, he hasn't played in the NFL since the 2016 season. Of course, this was a season where he started to protest basically for people of color in the United States by taking a knee during the national anthem. But a lot of speculation started when on Thursday a video surfaced of him working out in Houston. And if you guys watch the video, you know he still looks pretty good and like an NFL quarterback. He's been working out with his trainer, mostly in New York City, but he was in Houston for Texans owner Bob McNair's deposition in his collusion case. So when that video surfaced and people saw he was also hitting the weight room, people were talking, will Colin Kaepernick get signed? So this time I'll start with you, Ray. Will we see him signed this season?
I hope so, because honestly, in the video, he looked strong. Granted, it was no defenders out there, but his arm looked really strong.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really accurate. So I feel as though, he could still – I feel like he should have played last year, but, you know, that's always a political thing.
Right.
But I feel as though he's ready to play again, and I'm pretty sure his mind state is back to where it needs to be a starting quarterback. And
mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that the Jets should have gave him a strong look.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have much at quarterback now. They picked up was it Teddy Bridgewater, who's coming off an injury.
Right.
They re-signed McCown. They're probably going to draft a quarterback as well. But I feel as though they could have possibly gotten Kaepernick in there for a cheaper price.
Right.
And that might have been the avenue for him to get back into the league. There's not too many more teams looking for a backup. Well, there's a couple looking for a backup, but I know he probably wants to start again.
Right.
And I don't really think there's any available starting positions right now. That was probably his best chance, and maybe Cleveland. But since they got Tyrod Taylor, that's out the window.
Right.
What about I don't want
Miami?
To see him.
Some people are saying he should have went to Miami Dolphins, should have possibly signed him.
I think Tannehill's going to be back this season. I don't think he's going to miss too much more time. And, you know, that's like their bread and butter right there. They're going to stick with Tannehill for at least another year or two, I think. Maybe as a backup. But I don't know, does he fit their system the same way Tannehill would?
Mm-hmm.
Cutler didn't fit in really well last year. And then they lost a lot of weapons. They lost Landry. So I don't know that would have been a winning situation for him either. Granted, the Jets probably wouldn't have been too much better, but I think he would have got more opportunity with the Jets versus going to Miami.
Okay. What about you, James?
Listen, I've seen the video. I've seen it many times. He's looking strong, but that stomach, though, it looked like he had too many Shake Shacks. But I don't know. I know y'all saw that stomach. Y'all saw that stomach. But, I mean, for the culture, it would be great for him to come back. But I don't know, man, that conspiracy with those owners, man. He was looking – I mean, he was laughing coming out. He had a big smile on the face coming out that courtroom. So either way, he's going to get that money. Either way.
Well, staying on Colin Kaepernick, did you guys also hear this week that O.J. Simpson decided to chime in on Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, my gosh.
Saying, I think Colin made a mistake, he said. I really appreciate what he was trying to say. I thought he made a bad choice in attacking the flag. Do you guys agree with O.J.?
Listen, OJ doesn't think he's black. OJ's OJ, so that's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm. Ray, anything to say on OJ's comments?
Well, OJ's out of jail right now, so I ain't going to say nothing crazy. I don't want no smoke. OJ, okay. But I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't agree with his opinion at all. I feel as though Kaepernick is a hero for taking a stance the way he did. He jeopardized his whole entire career to make a point and to bring awareness to something. So that alone lets you know that it was a great decision. If he feels though he felt that strongly about something to jeopardize his entire career, he lost millions of dollars for that.
Right.
So you can't knock that man for something that he felt strongly and he believed in. So I don't agree with OJ at all, but who does in anything? But
yeah, a lot of people were going on OJ for even having a comment on that. I don't think he should have. I think OJ right now just needs to lay low and keep getting money because we know he'll keep coming out with these specials if he did it and all that stuff, and people will keep paying him to do that type of stuff. So
did y'all watch that other special that he did, the interview?
Yeah.
Ain't no more if he did it.
But, you know, the thing is, he's going to keep going through it, though. I mean, of course, I think everybody knows now, but at the same time, he knows he can keep getting paid if he keeps just making his hypotheticals. Right. And he's going to keep getting the checks. So at the same time, I mean, I feel for the family, but he's going to keep doing it because people, all of us are enticed to hear it every single time.
Well, hypothetically, he said he's OJ. He's not black. He's OJ. So,
oh, my God.
Hypothetically, he's a fool.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, OJ, we're not even going to get into that. But stay on Colin Kaepernick. Another person who is a former San Francisco 49ers, and that is safety Eric Reed. He also hasn't been signed by any team since becoming a free agent this offseason. And so a lot of people are feeling like he's also getting blacklisted by the NFL, like his friend and, of course, former teammate in Colin Kaepernick. Reed is 26 years old, and guess what? If you guys don't remember, when Kaepernick first started this protest, he was the very first player to join Kaepernick in kneeling during the national anthem in protest of police brutality and racism. And, of course, Kaepernick, he remained seated during the playing of the national anthem after kneeling. And during a preseason game, if you go all the way back to September of 2016, Reed was instrumental, actually, in convincing Kaepernick to kneel instead of sitting on the bench as a sign of respect to the U.S. military. So I don't know if a lot of people knew that. And just real quick, he said this. He said, "The notion that I can be a great signing for your team for cheap, not because of my skill set, but because I've protested systematic oppression is ludicrous. If you think that, then your mindset is part of the problem too." He actually sent that out in a tweet. So I'll start with you this time, James. Do you think Eric Reed is getting blackballed?
He's definitely getting blackballed. But I don't remember. Was he a starter or coming off the bench? I can't remember.
For San Francisco, I think he was a starter.
He was a starter. He's pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, he's a Pro Bowl. He's been to a Pro Bowl, you guys, already, 26 years old. And I think he's just in the prime of his career.
So this is exactly why I think it's a conspiracy against him also.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. Come on, Orlando, what's his name, Scandrick is signed, and you're not signed. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Dre is signed, but he's not signed. Like, come on.
Yeah. Ray?
You know what? I actually disagree with that.
Okay.
But hear me out, though, because I feel as though when he made the comments, just based on the timeline, when he made the comments, I thought it was a little too early because no safeties have been signed yet. So he was kind of being a little too anxious about it because you got to think. I got this Adam Schefter said something on ESPN. Teams may have been looking at him, but then the very next day, Tyrann Mathieu got released. So now he's available at safety. Tyrann Mathieu is better than Eric Reed, correct? So if you were looking at Eric Reed and then you see Tyrann Mathieu available, you got to reevaluate your whole situation now. So now you got another thing to think about. So now you got to think another person to think about. So maybe that'll make you take a step back. Like, hold on, let's reevaluate this first. So that was like, okay, maybe that's why he didn't get signed. But then when he made the comments, I think that made it worse, honestly. I think he was a little premature making those comments because no safeties had come off the board yet. So you expected to be the first safety? I mean, I don't think you were the best safety that was available.
Okay.
But, so because you got to think a lot of quarterbacks went first,
a couple wide
receivers, a couple running backs, a couple linemen, but not really that many defensive players really didn't move that first week or so. So I think he was a little premature, but maybe it was the fact maybe he wasn't getting any calls at all. That's different. But as far as him actually signing, I think he was a premature. But like I said, I'm not his agent, so I don't know. Maybe he wasn't getting any calls, then that's different.
Okay.
But I think it was premature for him to say it though. He should have waited. If he'd have saw a bunch of safeties coming off the board and he still wasn't getting any looks, then
he'd
say something.
Okay.
Just the timing of it, I think, was bad.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at it. That's a good way to look at it.
And another reason some people are saying that he might be getting blackballed is because if you guys remember back to November 2017, he actually publicly left the Players Coalition, which, of course, is an organization made up of a group of NFL players
yes.
looking to be active in social reform. And basically, though, he said he left that meeting because he didn't like how the group's leader, who was Philadelphia Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins, was handling negotiations with the NFL. So
that's the real story right there. Did you guys read up on that at all? That story is a little crazy.
What's going on?
Go ahead, Ray.
The way basically, you know how they had the coalition to where it started off with Kaepernick kneeling.
Right.
You know, and it turned into, you know, it was basically two factions. From what I read, it was two factions. Part of it was because people wanted to basically make awareness for, you know, the different issues in society. And the other part was the people that were concerned about Kaepernick getting blackballed. So the faction kind of divided. Eric Reed was more so on the why is my dude Kaepernick getting blackballed, while Malcolm Jenkins, I forget his name, the safety from the Eagles was more so like, it's bigger than Kaepernick. Now we need to look at awareness in the league. So that's why I remember the NFL went ahead and put that money up.
Right.
I think it was like $70 million towards
it was almost $100 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact number, but they put up, that's where the factions kind of divided. So I read an article where Eric Reed had a secret meeting with the commissioner to talk about it, and then that's how they kind of had like a little beef between him and Malcolm Jenkins, and then that's where they kind of like split from the alliance split apart, because they had two different missions, basically.
Right.
One side was going with Kaepernick and why he doesn't have a job, and then the other part was like, you know what, we get Kaepernick doesn't have a job, but now that he pointed out this problem in society, it's bigger than him, so we need to fix that issue first.
Right.
And then that's where that's where the divide started up. And so for him to get blackballed for that is kind of crazy, because he was kind of just riding for his guy. Granted, they had a bigger picture, but I don't think he should be blackballed for something like that. But you never know. It definitely was a lot of politics involved with that. And I thought that story was very intriguing. I wish I could remember who wrote the article, but when I read that, I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that much into it. It was that deep.
So let's say he doesn't get signed by the start of the season. Would you guys then say that he's getting blackballed?
Oh, that's blasphemy if he don't get signed. That's blasphemy.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Out there at his age and, you know, what he can do. So I would say
he's like 26 years old.
Right. Like, come on.
It'll be interesting to follow.
Definitely an owner coalition going on.
Oh my gosh. Well, moving on from one problem area to another, I want to go to my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment. And the topic of today, well, the person that is the topic of today's conversation is Glenn Big Baby Davis, who was arrested. So if people don't remember Big Baby, former NBA player Ronald Davis, he was actually charged with possession of marijuana. This goes back, though, to early February after refusing to leave an Aberdeen hotel. Basically, they say police officers were dispatched to a Hampton Inn, of all places, in Aberdeen around 6 p.m. on February 7th for a guest who refused to leave the room. Then hotel management, they told officers that on the floor they smelled the smell of marijuana, and, of course, they were able to find out where the marijuana was coming from. Then they said they knocked on the door to a big guest, but a guest inside the room cursed the employee and refused to open the door, and management gave officers, of course, permission to enter and evict the guests. And then basically police say when they entered the room, they observed items in plain view consistent with drug use. And the police, when they later identified the men, of course, one of them was Glenn Davis, who's now 32 years old. But this was the crazy part. They found 126 grams of marijuana, packing materials, a ledger that contained language consistent with the sale of controlled dangerous substances, and a briefcase containing $92,164. So I know you guys probably saw his mugshot this week that kind of just came out. And of course, if you remember just his playing days, he played with Boston and Orlando and the Los Angeles Clippers. But when this news came out, I'll start with you, Ray. I mean, what were you thinking when you saw Big Baby's mugshot?
So at first, when I saw the first headline, it just said he got arrested for possession. And then they said how much and what he had with him. I was like, is he selling weed? Like, is it that bad?
They said he was, like, basically trafficking it out through the hotel.
Yeah, like, cause, you know, sometimes, you know, athletes, sometimes they travel. They have, you know, their personal use. But the stuff he had with him, that ain't no personal use. Like, I was like, wait a minute. What is the world coming to? Like, why is Big Baby trafficking weed? He was right up the street. He wasn't that far from here.
Right, that's the crazy. That's what I was scary at. Like, I passed through Aberdeen, and like, what? Like, what? Like, just to think I could pass by the Hampton Inn where he was doing that at.
Then they said they came to the door, and he was like, "Go away." Why did you think that was the word?
Which made it even worse, because then of course they're definitely going to come in. I mean, it's kind of like, if people have like a party at a hotel or something, you would think he would at least try to go out and defuse the situation instead of, like you said, just telling the police to go away and they're supposed to just get back in their police cars and go home. No, it doesn't work like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe he thought he was still controlling stuff in the NBA. But James, when you heard this headline, what was going through your mind?
I don't know. I just said it was Big Baby or Big Dummy.
I think that's honestly the easiest way to put it. But interestingly enough, he did say he will have his day in court. He said that the police are just mad because a black man got money. You guys agree with that?
Okay, it was so corny.
The fact
he was on
it's
a
illegal
flight.
Money. Bro.
Right. He was on a
the
flight
wrong
with
type
90,
of money.
Right, with $90,000 on a flight, eating chicken, showing your Boston Celtics ring. It was just corny. You're going to have your day in court and you're going to get a felony.
Oh, my
God. Like, you big dummy. That's what it was.
But on the real, when I read this, a problem came to me, fellas, when I was like, it just seems like so many athletes, especially after, I mean, of course, some of them do get in trouble while they're playing, but it seems like more than often now we hear so many headlines of them getting in trouble after their playing careers. And my problem with that, of course, is that you're done your playing career, right? You should have a good amount of savings worked up, especially a player like Big Baby. You should have a nice little savings amount worked up. So how do you even get involved in into stuff like this, you know? Like, he should be going on shows, like, as an analyst discussing basketball and stuff. Like, I just don't understand still.
I don't know if he should be an analyst.
Yeah.
Well, he could go on a show. I'm not saying, like, on the TNT, but he could go on your mom and, you know, on a radio show and talk
some
basketball.
He could be a spokesperson for Popeyes. That's all he could do. I mean.
Oh, no.
He could talk a little basketball.
That was not me. That was James.
See, I'm not getting in trouble with Big Baby. He's dangerous.
He's right up the street, James. I don't want no smoke.
Listen,
no problems here.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, you gotta keep, you know, I'm just being honest right now and being sincere about it. Like, why would you have $90,000 with you at Aberdeen Hotel?
Like, right, at least be at a nice hotel like Floyd Mayweather or something. You
right.
Can't around that much money, but
like go to Vegas with that money in your like go to a Vegas hotel or something. Like, why would you? It just doesn't make no sense.
Yeah.
He had to be low key.
So now,
he wasn't supposed to be doing. You can't be in
exactly.
No Vegas hotel trafficking weed.
For that reason, when you go to court, you're gonna get slapped with an F and it's probably probation now. So now you can't go to Aberdeen. You gotta stay around your area. So now be it. Like, it's dumb, big dumb.
That's Cal Ripken's area. I'm like, I need Cal Ripken to take a better patrol of Aberdeen area so we don't have this craziness going on. But I don't know. I'll just keep Big Baby in my prayers. I just thought it was foolishness, honestly, the whole situation. Again, I don't know how he got himself into such madness.
Right. So you don't think a judge is going to see that video of you on the plane with the Popeyes and saying that, well, I don't have my day in court? Like, come on.
James is just not going to let up.
It just don't make no
sense.
You
see, resting with people, right?
I know. And then they're going to come after all of us. And that's when me and you have to let you be on your own, James. And say, no,
yeah, it's with him.
He was arrested with somebody else, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
They're going to take that charge. He's going to walk away. That's why he's so happy. He's going to pay them off, and they're going to take that.
Too funny. All right, fellas, I want to end my show. I can't believe how quickly this one has went. It's been fun. But I always like to end my show with my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where today I want to talk about the WNBA, but specifically I want to talk about Laisha Clarendon, who basically, she's the reason why I'm making her my Woman Crush Everyday, because after UMBC won their game against Virginia, everyone started talking about how they were the only 16 seed to ever knock off a number one seed. And she was like, no. If you do your homework and you consider men's and women's team, that UMBC actually joins the Harvard women's team as the only two 16 seeds to ever beat a number one seed. Because people forgot the ladies have done that before. And that was Harvard's women's team. And basically she said, don't come at us with the first team ever stuff, people. First team on the men's side, not in the game of basketball. But basically, of course, when she said that and she was WNBA player, everyone started getting in her mentions about the WNBA. Now, I know you guys love the WNBA, right? Because you guys have been around me. I know you guys follow the game, but basically she talked about how people started getting her mentioned, guys, about how they wouldn't survive if the NBA stopped subsidizing them, and just basically all this craziness and foolishness. But, I mean, the WNBA actually has been doing pretty well since they have been around. But before I go into history and have to lecture people, I just want to hear your guys' overall thoughts maybe on the WNBA. And if you don't think it's working, how can things be turned around? So I'll start with you, Ray, on this one.
I like WNBA. I like the way they're going right now because I feel like they have the star power. I just feel like they need to market their stars a little bit more. Just follow the mold of the NBA. Like the NBA has, you know, five main stars. They even have sub-stars underneath it. But I feel as though the WNBA needs to follow that mold. Deladon is a huge star. She needs to be, you know, she needs to be front and center. Brittany Griner needs to be front and center a lot more. I just feel as though they need to make sure – and Skylar Diggins, of course, because everybody loves Skylar Diggins. But they need to
especially
put their faces out more and just kind of like use them to pump the league up a little bit more. Just that marketability of the stars.
Right.
Basketball is a star sport. That's why people have so much emphasis on the drafts because one player can literally change your team around.
Right.
In football, not so much. But basketball, one player can change the route of your team. So just push the stars a lot more, and I think that'll bring more people, more kids, more guys, to more women, of course, that want to play, to just get more eyes on the actual game. And I feel like they'll be fine, especially with the NBA backing them. As far as them not being able to survive without the NBA, that's another conversation.
Okay. All right. This is where I'll let you chime in, James.
I mean, see, the WNBA has so much potential, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the league's been here for over 21 seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at glance, you know, it looks like it's dire, like it's not profitable. But we have been so compartmentalized with the NBA that there's so much room for the women in the space to make it as big as maybe not as big right now, but they could market it. They have so much marketing power to make it more than it is, you know. Like, and all right, for example, there's little things that are going on that's not really working out. Like, New York franchise, the Liberty's for sale. Yes,
right.
They need somebody who really wants to take care of that team and to bring it to the forefront. Like, it's playing in one of the greatest arenas in the world. So I feel like there's so much room and so much potential for the WNBA to reach that grassroots marketing that it needs. It can happen. I just think they need to hire people like me.
Well, hey, James is for hire. And any WNBA executives are listening. And honestly, and this is the thing. So I've supported, I mean, I played obviously basketball, but I've supported them for a long time. The WNBA, actually, I know people think, oh, it's not working. You know, they only have 12 teams, blase, blase. But they've been around for a good while now. And if you compare them to other young leagues, they actually are sustaining themselves. I think the only problem is their fan base has been their fan base, and it hasn't changed. And I think that's where it goes to the marketing you guys are talking about. And my problem with the marketing now is the only time I really see the WNBA trending on Twitter, it's like it seems like it's always stuff for sexuality-wise. And by that, I mean it's like if a player got married. Brittany Griner was recently trending. I don't know if you guys saw that because she did an Instagram live video with her shirt off with her girlfriend. Like, that can't be your storylines if you're trying to bring fans to your team. And, you know, of course, I mean, yes, that is attention. And I know some people say all publicity is good publicity. But at the end of the day, I think it goes back to, like you guys are saying, marketing those key star players, showing who they really are. And honestly, these girls can ball. Maya Moore is a baller. She is a baller.
Right.
She can ball with the best of the best. Skylar Diggins, too. I mean, I know everyone talks about her looks. She's a gorgeous girl, but also she can ball. And I think you have to get back to that. You know, you have to show, and they actually, there's so many people with amazing storylines. But I think, again, it goes back to support. I don't just mean players going to a couple of games and smiling and taking pictures. It has to be constant support. And it has to be businesses and companies, you know, investing in them. But nonetheless, I'm excited for their season to kick off sooner than later. And fellas, I can't believe the show went that quickly, but I want to thank you both for being on my show.
I don't want to go.
I know, right? It's been so fun.
We're going to have to do it again. We're going to definitely have to do it again because it felt good for the gang to be all back together.
Right, I know, man. I miss you guys.
Oh, so sweet. And now we're all degreed and doing our things. I mean, you know, we got our degrees from Georgetown, so, you know, we're doing something right.
Yeah, we're doing
something
right.
And just a real quick story. I just wrote a recommendation for somebody, Stephen Morrison, who got into the Georgetown Sports Industry Management Program. So shout out to Stephen. But I can't believe what we just finished the program in 2016, and now I'm already writing recommendations for people. It just makes me feel old really quickly.
Oh, Stephen, how's he doing? Is it?
Oh, you know Stephen?
Yeah, he was on the show one time, wasn't he?
No. This is a different Stephen.
He's a talent
producer for ESPN. He's out in Charlotte, but he'll be joining the program next year, and he's real excited. I mean, Georgetown Sports Industry Management Program has a good rep, so I think we all went to the right place. All right, well, for me, Ray Jones and James Hippolyte, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until later this week when I welcome in Bass Rutten and LeVar Ball. Enjoy the sports world. Smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously. That's for you, Ray, because there's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with K&N from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with K&N, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.